Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've established the last few weeks, Jesus is the one who is speaking in Psalm 41. He is described as that poor one about to go to the cross. We'll see, especially on Monday, Thursday, the fulfillment of some of his words and how they are applied to Jesus in the New Testament, giving us even further confirmation that Jesus is speaking in Psalm 41. So our focus tonight is on verse 5 of Psalm 41, in which Jesus said, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?" So the enemies of Jesus are wondering, when will Jesus finally die and his name perish? We can see that being fulfilled even a year before our Lord's passion. In John chapter 8, when Jesus was at the temple then, Jesus had explained to the Jews who did not believe in him that Abraham was not truly their father, but their father was in fact the devil. And then Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am," identifying himself as God himself. They picked up stones to throw at Jesus, but he passed through the midst of them and left. Not long before our Lord's passion, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Many, seeing that this man who had been dead for 4 days now lives, many believed in Jesus, which caused the chief priests and the scribes to plot all the more to find a way to put Jesus to death. And not only Jesus, but also Lazarus. So Judas arranged to betray Jesus for those 30 pieces of silver. And as we heard in last week's Passion reading, on Maundy Thursday, after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and went out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, a detachment of officers and chief priests were led by Judas out into the garden. They came with lanterns and torches and weapons, indicating that they were ready to fight, because they were wondering, when will Jesus die and his name perish? They were seeking his death so that his name would perish. They arrest him. They put him on trial because they're seeking his death. Clearly, as Jesus said in the psalm, they were saying of Jesus in malice. They were malicious in their thoughts and in their ways. They were not just seeking harm on Jesus in malice, but they were seeking his death. They wanted him to die so that his name would perish. When we think about the generations who have gone long before us, most of them are no longer remembered by those who are living. Sure, we do have some history books that tell us of certain people that lived in history. We might know the names of kings, but maybe not the names of their subjects, the various peasants, or whomever actually ran the land. We have books to tell us of those who have lived before us and have done amazing things, but not much to say about the common man. In the Bible, we have many lists of names, but we also have the census that Moses took to identify how many there were living, and there's far, far more that were counted in that census that were actually listed as names in the Bible. We have genealogies that tell us about who lived in the generations before us. Some people can trace their genealogies back for hundreds, if not even thousands of years. But not every single fork in their genealogy can they trace that far. We have names engraved on stones in the cemeteries to remember those who have gone before us. But we do not know every king and every nobleman who ever lived. We do not know the names of most of the soldiers who fought for their countries in centuries past. All family genealogies come to an end at some point because our records just don't go back any further. Obviously, people live, but we don't know their names. And the stones that we place at cemeteries to serve as an immortal memorial of our loved ones, they wear out. Sometimes they get destroyed. And sometimes they simply sink under the soil, or nature around it grows up and it becomes pasture or forest land again. While we may bear their genes of those people who have gone before us, for most, their names appear to have perished. When the Israelites were ready to enter the promised land, God gave a command that the people of Israel were to enter into that land and eliminate those pagans who lived there. They weren't to do it all at once because those wild beasts would become too numerous, which would create its new problems. And God made it clear that he would be the one doing most of the work for them. God said, "The Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will give their kings into your hand, and you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The carved images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God." Did you catch that? Just as they wanted Jesus to die so that his name would perish, God says the names of these pagans must perish. The people were trying to get Jesus to have his name perish. They were treating the word of life as a pagan. That's their view of him. In today's Passion reading at the palace of the high priest, the church leaders were seeking evidence to make a case to sentence Jesus to death. They raised up witnesses, but their testimony would not agree. Witnesses related to what Jesus actually said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The lies of false witnesses were not enough. And so they tried to find fault with Jesus' own testimony, but Jesus at first would not answer to give a defense. But then when asking of who he is, then he spoke. They asked him if he is the Christ, and he said, "I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven." They said, "What more testimony do we need? He is speaking blasphemy. He is deserving of death." And they spit on him. They blindfolded him. They struck him. They mocked him. The words of Jesus, as originally written by King David under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, were coming true. "My enemies say of me in malice, 'When will he die and his name perish?'" When would he die? Soon. His hour was at hand, as we heard in our reading from John chapter 12. He would soon take away the sin of the world through his vicarious atonement. He would soon be lifted up on the cross to shed his innocent blood as the ransom payment for the world's sin. What they meant for evil, God would use for good. They tried to kill him so that his name would perish. If you notice on the bulletin, the theme for tonight is called Soon and Never. You see, the enemies of Jesus asked a two-part question, which means there is a two-part answer. The first question they asked, that Jesus is saying they asked, when will he die? Answer, soon. Second question, when will his name perish? Answer, never. Soon and never. Soon he will die, but never will his name perish. Like those pagans who were worshiping their false gods in the promised land when the Israelites were about to enter into it. The Jews in Jesus' day may have killed the Lord of life, but his existence did not stop, nor did his name perish. Instead, Jesus rose victoriously from the grave, which was written of his crucifixion, his passion was written in Philippians chapter 2. And then those words continue in Philippians 2. God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When will his name perish? Never. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And this makes us sing out with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have brought forth perfect praise. And in our second reading from the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, St. John records a vision of Christ when he returns in glory on the last day. There, Jesus is named the Word of God. And it is written on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he lives and has obtained for us the victory, and his name will never perish. But what about you? When you abide in Christ, there will be enemies and foes who will seek to remove your faith from you. All who are godly in Christ will face persecution, Paul writes. And so, enemies of Christians will ask those same questions as they asked of Jesus. When will those Christians die that their names will perish? Of course, God knows when we will breathe our last. He knows when he will call us to glory. He knows if he will come back before we should breathe our last. Just as we could not bring ourselves into the world, so also we leave it up to him for when he calls us away from here and by what means he chooses to do so. But when will our name perish? We may well die, but will our name perish? I have good news for you, my friends. Because you are baptized into Christ, and you are members of God's family by grace through faith, through that adoption into his family, your names are, in fact, written in the book of life. You will not be forsaken. Now, you may receive a gravestone to try to help the generations to come remember your name, but it may eventually crumble away. wars or other disasters in future generations could remove all records of your existence, so that in years to come, no one may remember you in this world. But your name will not perish, because you, as a child of God, will go to be with the Lord, and you will live with him. And when Jesus returns on the last day, he will raise your bodies from the dead so that they will be immortal and your bodies will be incorruptible. You will have a glorious body, not unlike Christ's own body, and you will live with God forever when he recreates the heavens and the earth. God will cleanse and purify you. He will remember your sins no more, and all your tears will be washed away forever. At the same time, he will never forget your name, nor will you, as Christians, die eternally. As it is with Jesus, so it is with you. Soon he would die, but his name will never perish. Soon you will be called to be with the Lord, but your names will never perish. For you belong to Christ. His glorious name is placed upon you, and he will bring you through this valley of the shadow of death to the green pastures and the still waters of paradise. He is faithful, and he will do it. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.